A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Hey, Herman and Corin. We've talked about secret management in a number of episodes lately, in agentic AI and how it can work, and permissions and MCP versus agent skills. And one thing that we haven't really covered, it's I think worthy of a conversation, because we've talked about solo developers and how the best practices are the classical best practices in terms of, you know, never hard coding credentials, having them in a .env that's kept out of production or out of version control. And I think a lot of people know that those basic ground rules, right? And if you don't, AI agents now tend to say, hey, you shouldn't do that. Or I put it to your Gitignore, and they kind of give you a very stern look. If your agents could look at you, they'd be looking at you with disapproval. And the thing that I think that the gap I see is that if you're a solo developer, if you're working on a team project where you're working on one repository collaboratively, and you have maybe 6 or 7 secrets in different environments, at that scale, it's manageable. It's not a lot of headache to clone the repository and even manually populate the secrets if you have to do it that way. It's not the most robust way of operating, but you're not going to spend your day doing that. Now, the problem that I found with API keys and secrets becomes, if you're trying out a lot of prototypes and you're referencing these all the time and you're just using like one password or something. And that's when we talked about Doppler. But here and that's a good way to, you know, cloud secrets management. It's a little bit, the question becomes, is it too much at certain levels of scale? But when you're generating secrets, let's say you're trying out a new API marketplace or something like that. As you mentioned, the best practice over the recent years has moved from creating API keys as kind of all the, you know, control over the whole thing. You can do everything the API allows, through to a trend for very fine-grained token control. And if you look at Cloudflare is one example that comes to mind for me. When you're creating an API key in Cloudflare now, it's kind of like you feel like you've arrived to a government interview or something. They have this whole gigantic catalog and laundry list of different skills and different, there's like layers within layers within layers, and it actually becomes a huge headache. It's become so granular that you're trying to go through this, trying to figure out, okay, I just want an API token that can create update DNS records. Which of these 300 different, permissions do I need for this API key? And it kind of becomes this bewildering process. The good thing about using, you know, the best practice is if you're trying out something and maybe a slightly untrusted service, you're going to create an API key just for that service. So if anything happens, you can revoke and cancel that key without affecting all the other keys you might have generated for something you're using. Another reason that I've finally become a bit more disciplined about creating API keys for each service and sometimes even job is cost tracking. Using OpenRouter, if you create a key for the My Word Promise podcast pipeline, I can see exactly how much the pipeline costs. If I want even more granularity, I could even create multiple keys for different stages of the pipeline. So there is federation, there is reducing the blast surface, and there is granularity of cost data, all compelling reasons to create a large number of API keys. Now, here's the only problem. API keys are increasingly becoming take a while to configure, and it just gets exhausting. You end up spending a lot of time. You say, well, I should really create 3 different API keys against the service for that reason. And you do 1, 2, 3 copying and pasting. And suddenly you're spending half your day and just generating, scope controlling and saving API keys. This, I think, is a pain point that some developers at least might resonate with them. And I find myself thinking that perhaps some of the solution here is actually to use AI agents themselves for secret handling. That might sound like a really controversial take. I'm talking about using a tool like Claude Code to mint a new API key or mint three API keys, save them to wherever you're saving your secrets, because when you do that, and I've done it, yes, you're going to have secrets in the logs flying back and forth to your API, but suddenly it's not a huge headache to create three or four keys, and the agent can read the scope stuff for you and make sure they're created with the least permission. So I actually think there's a really interesting security trade-off to consider here. On the one hand, yes, Anthropic will say never put your API keys, never even put them in a chat, and I would push back against that and say, nice idea, but increasingly impractical. How do you expect us to, you know, work with these models without putting these there? And the benefit I would point to here is that it becomes suddenly practical to follow very rigid best practices, least privilege and API keys per service, without having to spend half your day doing that. And that is an overall security win. And personally, I trust Anthropic. I wouldn't be using it if I didn't, to, you know, scrub the conversation logs. I'm sure they're not sitting around plain text server side. So I feel reasonably confident. I also scrub my own logs locally. So my question is, Herman and Quorn, what's the problem? API keys have become, you know, there's a standard way we do secrets, and secrets are the gateway to all the things in ACP and MCP, API and MCP. But they're becoming increasingly time consuming to configure correctly. Do you think this trade-off can work? And is the never put an API key in a conversation with an agent a hard rule? Or do you think in cases like this, it's a trade-off that can actually make sense?
By the way, today's episode is powered by DeepSeek V4 Pro.
Good to know. So Daniel sent us this one, and I think he's put his finger on something genuinely annoying that most security conversations just glide right past. The standard advice is create fine-grained API keys for every service, every job, sometimes every stage of a pipeline. Least privilege, blast radius reduction, cost tracking. You end up spending half your afternoon clicking through Cloudflare's 300 permission checkboxes just to update a DNS record. And his question is, can we offload this to AI agents? Have an agent mint the keys. Scope them correctly. Save them where they belong. The obvious objection is that you're now putting secrets in your conversation logs. Anthropic and every other provider would say, never do that. Daniel's pushback is, nice idea, increasingly impractical, and the security win of actually following least privilege might outweigh the risk. So where does that trade-off actually land?
There's a lot to unpack here, and I want to start with the Cloudflare example because it's so specific and it illustrates the core problem beautifully. Cloudflare's API. Permission catalog. And I pulled this up. Currently lists over 300 individual permissions. They're organized into categories like account, zone, user, but within zone alone, you've got DNS read, DNSS. Write, firewall read, firewall write, SSL and certificates, workers, KV namespaces, durable objects, and many of these have sub-permissions, DNS records edit versus DNS records read. So Daniel's not exaggerating when he says it feels like a government interview. You're scrolling through this list thinking, I just want to update a TXT record for domain verification. Which of these 300 things do I check?
The stakes for getting it wrong are either the token doesn't work, which is the annoying but safe outcome, or you grant more than you meant to, which defeats the purpose.
And what's happened is that the industry has correctly identified that the old model, here's one API key that can do everything, was a disaster. The 2018 GitGuardian report found something like 100,000 secrets leaked on public GitHub in a single year. By 2024, it was over 12 million. So the response was fine-grained access control. AWS IAM pioneered a lot of this thinking, but we've now swung so far that the usability cost is real. Developers are spending non-trivial time just configuring credentials.
Which is what Daniel's getting at. The perfect becomes the enemy of the good. If following best practice requires an hour of checkbox clicking per service, people won't do it. If an agent can do it in 30 seconds, they might. Even if the agent path introduces some risk, the net security posture might actually improve.
Let's do the threat modeling here, because I think this is where the conversation gets interesting. What are the actual risks of having an agent handle API key creation? Daniel mentioned a few, and I want to go through them systematically. First, secrets in the transcript. You're sending the API key through the chat interface. The provider, Anthropic, OpenAI, whoever sees it in plain text. They say they don't train on it, they say they scrub logs, but you're trusting them.
Daniel's point is, he does trust Anthropic on this. He's made that calculation. He said explicitly, I scrub my own logs locally, and I'm reasonably confident they're not sitting around in plain text server-side. That's a judgment call, not a technical argument, but it's a judgment call a lot of developers are making implicitly anyway. How many people paste API keys into Claude or ChatGPT when they're debugging something? I'd wager it's most of them.
I'd wager you're right, and that's actually part of the problem. There's a gap between the official guidance, never put credentials in a chat, and what people actually do. And when official guidance diverges that far from practice, it stops being useful. It's like abstinence-only education, technically correct, practically ignored.
What's the second risk?
Second risk is that the agent misconfigures the permissions. You say, give me a token that can update DNS records, and it grants something broader because it misread the permission catalog. Or it grants exactly what you asked for, but you asked for the wrong thing because you didn't understand the permission model. The agent is only as good as your prompt, and if you're already confused by Cloudflare's 300 permissions, your prompt might not be precise enough.
Though Daniel's point there is interesting, he says the agent can read the scope stuff for you and make sure the keys are created with least permission. The agent might actually be better at parsing that permissions catalog than a tired developer clicking through at 4 in the afternoon.
That's the optimistic case, and I think there's something to it. Large language models are good at reading documentation and extracting structured information. If you give an agent access to the Cloudflare API documentation and say create a token with the minimum permissions needed to manage DNSS records for Zone X, it can probably do that correctly more often than a human who's doing it for the first time. But the failure mode is asymmetric. If the human gets it wrong, they probably grant too much permission. Bad. But the blast radius is still limited to what that human could access anyway. If the agent gets it wrong because of a prompt injection or a hallucination, it could grant something completely unexpected.
Let's talk about that prompt injection point, because I think it's the strongest objection. If you're having an agent interact with an AP, to create keys, you've now got a path where something in the agent's context, a web page it read, a document it processed, could influence what permissions it requests. That's not theoretical. We've seen demonstrated attacks where hidden text in a web page causes an agent to exfiltrate data or change its behavior.
Right, and this connects back to the episode Daniel mentioned about MCP versus agent skills, the context wars problem. If your agent has a large context window and it's ingesting untrusted content, there's a risk that content contains instructions that modify the agent's behavior. In the API key creation scenario, an attacker could potentially inject instructions to create a key with broader permissions and send it somewhere. The mitigation is to keep the agent's toolset scoped. The key creation tool should have hard-coded constraints that the agent can't override, regardless of what its context says.
Which is the classic security principle, don't trust the model, trust the system around the model. If the tool that actually calls the Cloudflare API has a hard-coded list of allowable permissions and the agent can only choose from that list, you've dramatically reduced the risk. The agent becomes a natural language interface to a constrained system, not an unconstrained actor.
And this is where I think the security community's conversation about AI agents sometimes goes off the rails. People talk about agents as if they're either fully trusted or fully untrusted. The reality is they're components in a system, and you can apply defense in depth around them. You don't give the agent raw API access. You give it access to a middleware layer that enforces constraints. The agent says, I need a DNSS. Write token for zone X. The middleware validates that this is a reasonable request, creates the token with exactly those permissions, and returns it. The agent never sees the token creation parameters directly.
The architecture matters enormously. Daniel mentioned using something like Cloud Code to mint keys. If Cloud Code is just a thin wrapper that passes the agent's request straight through to the API, that's one risk profile. If it's a constrained intermediary, that's a different one entirely.
I'd want to know which it is before I endorse the approach. But let me pull on another thread Daniel raised, because I think it's possibly the strongest argument in favor of agent-assisted key management. He mentioned cost tracking through OpenRouter. If you create separate API keys for different pipelines, different stages, even different jobs, you get granular cost data. That's not just a nice to have. For someone running multiple AI-powered workflows, understanding where your spend is going is essential. And the friction of creating all those keys means most people don't do it. They use one key and then wonder why their bill is so high.
I've seen this in practice. A developer has 5 different projects, all using the same OpenAI key. One of them goes haywire. Maybe a loop in the agent logic. Maybe a prompt that accidentally requests enormous completions. And suddenly the bill spikes. With one key, you have no idea which project caused it. With per project keys, you can see immediately and revoke just that one. The granularity is a operational superpower.
If the choice is between one key everywhere, terrible security, terrible cost visibility, and agent-created per-service keys with some transcript risk, I think the agent path wins on net. But I want to be precise about the conditions under which I think that's true.
What are your conditions?
First, the agent should be interacting with a secrets manager, not just returning the key in the chat. Daniel mentioned saving keys to wherever you're storing secrets. That's critical. The key should go directly from the APIE to the secret store, Doppler, HashiCorp Vault, whatever you're using, without the developer ever seeing it in plain text in the chat interface. If the agent is just displaying the key and saying, "Here you go, copy this," we failed.
The secrets manager needs to be the system of record. The agent creates the key, stores it, and the application reads it from the secrets manager at runtime. The developer never touches the key directly.
Second condition, the agent's tool for creating keys should have a limited permission scope itself. The tool should only be able to create keys with permissions that the developer has pre-approved. You don't give the agent the ability to create an admin key. You give it a menu of templates. DNS read-write, storage read-only, whatever, and it can only create keys matching those templates.
That's a good constraint. It means even if the agent is compromised, the worst-case outcome is a key with one of your pre-approved scopes, not an arbitrary key.
Third condition, audit logging. Every key the agent creates should be logged with metadata. When it was created, what permissions it has, which agent created it, what prompt triggered the creation. If you're going to automate credential creation, you need to be able to trace every credential back to its origin.
Fourth, I'd add, rotation. If agents are creating keys, agents should also be rotating them. The same pipeline that mints a key for a new service should also be able to rotate that key on a schedule. Because one of the problems with having lots of keys is that rotation becomes even more tedious than creation. If you've got 50 keys across 20 services, you're not rotating them manually. You're just not.
Rotation is actually where agents could provide even more value than creation. Creating a key is a one-time thing, annoying, but you do it once. Rotation is recurring. Every 90 days, every 30 days, you're supposed to generate new keys and update all the places that use them. Most small teams don't do this. They set a key 2 years ago and it's still in use. An agent that handles rotation automatically creates the new key, updates the secrets manager, verifies the old key is no longer in use, revokes it. That's a genuine security improvement over the status quo.
We're converging on something. The hard rule, never put an A. PI, key in a conversation with an agent, is too blunt. It's good hygiene in the abstract, but it doesn't account for the trade-offs. The question should be, under what conditions does the benefit of agent-assisted key management outweigh the risk? And I think for a lot of solo developers and small teams, the answer is under fairly reasonable conditions, yes.
Let me play devil's advocate against my own position for a moment, because I think there's a scenario where this goes badly wrong, and it's worth spelling out. Imagine a developer who's less sophisticated than Daniel. They don't have a secrets manager set up, they don't have audit logging, they're just using an agent to create keys and copying them into a .env file. The agent creates a key with broader permissions than needed because the developer's prompt was vague. The key ends up in a .env that accidentally gets committed. Yes, the agent put it in gitignore, but we all know gitignore failures happen. That key is now in the repository history, and it has overly broad permissions.
The developer's mental model is, I followed best practice. The agent handled it, so I'm secure. That's the danger of automation without understanding. The agent becomes a security placebo.
So I think the advice needs to be nuanced. If you have a proper secrets management setup, if you're using Doppler or Vault, or even just a well-structured set of environment variables with proper Git hygiene, then agent-assisted key creation with constrained tools is probably a net win. If you're just getting started and your security posture is a .env file in hope, you should probably do it manually until you understand what you're automating.
That's a fair line, and it connects to something Daniel mentioned in passing that I want to pull out. The distinction between solo developers and teams. He said for a solo developer with 6 or 7 secrets, it's manageable. The pain point is when you're trying out lots of prototypes, referencing APIs constantly, and the number of keys explodes. That's the scaling problem. At small scale, manual is fine. At large scale, you probably have a dedicated security team and automated tooling already. The messy middle is where this agent-assisted approach is most interesting.
The messy middle. That's exactly right. And the messy middle is also where a lot of the most interesting development happens. These are people building rapidly, experimenting with different services, spinning up and tearing down prototypes. They're not going to spend an hour on key management for a prototype that might not exist next week, so they cut corners. Agent assistance could make the secure path the easy path, which is the holy grail of security engineering.
The secure path should be the path of least resistance. That's a principle that's been true since before computers. If the secure way is also the annoying way, people will find the insecure way that's less annoying.
There's a great paper from, I think it was 2016, about why developers ignore security advice. The top reason wasn't that they didn't understand it or didn't care, it was that the advice wasn't actionable in their context. Telling a solo developer to implement the same key management practices as a Fortune 500 company is not actionable. They don't have the time, the tooling, or the operational support, so they ignore it. Agent-assisted key management might actually make best practices actionable for that developer.
Let's talk about what the tooling would need to look like. Daniel mentioned Cloud Code. I'm not familiar with the specifics of how that works, but I can imagine a tool that's purpose-built for this. You give it a service name. Cloudflare, say, and a natural language description of what you need. DNS management for my personal domain. And it goes off, reads the Cloudflare API. Permission documentation figures out the minimum set of permissions, creates the key, and stores it in your secrets manager of choice, or without the key ever appearing in your chat transcript.
That last part is important and technically achievable. The agent doesn't need to return the key to the chat. It can make an API call to your secrets manager directly. The key transits from Cloudflare to Doppler without ever touching the chat interface. The agent just reports back key created with permissions XYZ and stored in Project Foo.
Then the developer verifies the permissions. That's the human in the loop moment. Not creating the key, not copying it, not storing it, just reviewing what was created and confirming it looks right.
The human's role shifts from operator to auditor. That's a better use of human attention. The agent does the tedious configuration work, the human checks the result. And if the checking takes 30 seconds instead of 30 minutes, that's a massive productivity win with no meaningful security loss.
There's another angle here that Daniel didn't mention, but I think is relevant. When you create keys manually through a web interface, you're often doing it while authenticated as yourself with full account access. You're a click away from granting admin permissions. When an agent creates keys through an API, it's using its own credentials, which can be scoped to only create keys with certain permission sets, the agent's own API. Key becomes a choke point that you can audit and constrain.
That's a really subtle point, and I think it's correct. The human in the web console has God mode access by default. The agent, if properly configured, has a much narrower set of capabilities. So even if the agent makes a mistake, the mistake is bounded by what the agent is allowed to do. The human making a mistake in the console could accidentally grant full account access.
It's counterintuitive. Giving an AI agent the ability to create keys could actually reduce the risk of overprivileged keys, because the agent's own constraints serve as a safety rail.
I want to circle back to something Daniel said about trust. He said, "I trust Anthropic to scrub the conversation logs." I think that's reasonable as far as it goes, but I want to add a nuance. It's not just about whether Anthropic scrubs logs. It's about the entire pipeline. If you're using an agent through an API, your prompts and responses are going through Anthropic servers. If you're using Claude through the web interface, same thing. But if you're using a local model, say something running on your own hardware, the trust model changes completely. Your secrets never leave your machine.
Though local models aren't yet at the point where they can reliably navigate a complex permission catalog and make good scoping decisions, that's a frontier model task. So there's a trade-off between capability and data locality that's going to persist for a while.
For now, if you want the capability, you're probably using a cloud model. And that means you need to be comfortable with the provider's security posture. Anthropic publishes their security practices. They have SOC2 compliance. They claim they don't train on API data. That's about as good as it gets for a cloud provider. But it's not zero risk, and people should make that decision with open eyes.
Let's zoom out for a second. Daniel's prompt is about API keys, but I think there's a bigger pattern here. We're moving toward a world where AI agents are going to be interacting with APIs constantly. Every agent action might involve an API. Call to some service, a database, a payment processor, a DNS provider. That means agents need credentials. And if we insist that humans manually create and manage every one of those credentials, we're going to create a bottleneck that makes the whole agent ecosystem unworkable.
That's the agentic secret gap, and it's a real problem. We've talked about it in the context of developer workflows, but it's broader than that. If agents are going to be first-class actors in the software ecosystem, they need a way to authenticate that doesn't require a human in the loop for every new credential. The alternative is that agents end up sharing credentials, one key that every agent uses, which is the worst of all worlds from a security perspective.
We need something like OAuth for agents, a standard way for an agent to say, "I need access to this service with these permissions," and for the service to say, "Here's a scoped credential," without a human clicking through 300 checkboxes.
There's early work on this. The MCP Model Context Protocol has an authentication model, though it's still evolving. The general idea is that the agent presents its identity, the service issues a token with appropriate scope, and the whole thing happens programmatically. The human sets the policy up front. This agent can access these services with these maximum permissions, and then the agent operates within that policy.
That upfront policy setting is the human's job. You're not outsourcing security decisions to the agent. You're telling the agent what it's allowed to do, and then it handles the mechanics of getting the credentials it needs within those bounds.
The human sets the guardrails. The agent operates within them. That's the model we should be aiming for. And Daniel's practical approach, using agents to create scoped keys now, even if the tooling isn't perfect, is a step in that direction.
What's your bottom line on Daniel's specific question? Is never put an API key in a conversation with an agent, a hard rule, or is it a trade-off that can make sense?
It's a trade-off that can make sense, with conditions. The conditions are, use a secrets manager so the key never sits in plain text in your chat history longer than necessary. Constrain the agent's key creation tool so it can only create keys with pre-approved scopes, and verify what the agent created. Under those conditions, I think the security benefits of actually following least privilege and having per-service keys outweigh the risks of the key transiting through the chat infrastructure. But I'd add a caveat: if you're dealing with production infrastructure that handles sensitive user data or financial systems, or anything where a key leak would be catastrophic, I'd still want manual key creation with multiple sets of eyes on it.
That seems right. For development, prototyping, internal tooling, the kind of thing Daniel's describing, agent-assisted key management is probably a net positive. For production credentials on critical systems, the bar should be higher.
I think the bar will move over time. As the tooling improves, as the constrained intermediary pattern becomes standard, as audit logging gets better, the set of situations where agent-assisted key management is appropriate will expand. In 5 years, I suspect manual key creation will seem as archaic as manually managing memory allocation.
Manual memory management still has its defenders.
It does, and they're wrong. But that's a different episode.
One more thing before we wrap. Daniel mentioned that when you create an API key in Cloudflare now, it feels like you've arrived at a government interview. I think that's actually a failure of user experience design, not a failure of fine-grained permissions as a concept. The permissions are probably correct. The interface for selecting them is terrible. An agent that can parse natural language. I need DNS write access for zoneexample.com and map that to the correct permissions is essentially a better you. I for the same security model.
The security model is sound. The UX is broken. Agents can fix the UX without changing the security model. That's a much less controversial framing than agents handling secrets, and I think it's accurate.
It points to a future where API providers expose machine-readable permission catalogs that agents can parse, rather than making humans scroll through web pages. Cloudflare already has an API for everything. The permissions catalog should be queryable through that API, with clear relationships between human-readable descriptions and permission identifiers. Then an agent can say, "Show me all permissions related to DNSS," and get a structured response rather than trying to parse a web page.
Some providers are moving in this direction. AWS, IAM, has a fairly comprehensive API for policy management. You can query the permissions database programmatically. But a lot of services still treat their permission model as something you configure through a web console, with the API as an afterthought.
That's going to become a competitive differentiator. The services that make their permissions machine-friendly are going to be easier to integrate into agent workflows. The ones that don't are going to lose developer mindshare.
All right, we've covered a lot of ground. Let me try to summarize the key points for someone who's been nodding along but wants the takeaways.
Go for it.
First, Daniel's right that API key configuration has become a genuine productivity tax. Fine-grained permissions are good security practice, but the UX of configuring them is often terrible. Second, using AI agents to assist with key creation is not as scary as the official guidance suggests, provided you implement proper constraints, limited tool scopes, secrets manager integration, audit logging, human verification. Third, the net security benefit of actually following least privilege probably outweighs the transcript exposure risk for most non-critical workflows. Fourth, this is a transitional phase. The long-term solution is machine-friendly permission models and standardized agent authentication, not manual key management.
That's a good summary. I'd add one more. The secure path needs to be the easy path. If we want developers to follow best practices, we need to make best practices less painful. Agent-assisted key management is one way to do that. It's not perfect, but it's better than the status quo where people reuse broad-scope keys because the alternative is too annoying.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
The Portuguese word for tile, azulejo, derives from the Arabic azulejo, meaning small polished stone. But the particular blue and white geometric tiling tradition it now names actually arrived in São Tomé and Príncipe during the interwar period, not from the Arab world, but via Portuguese colonial architects who were themselves copying the tin-glazed maiolica techniques they'd seen in Delft.
So the etymology took a scenic route.
As etymologies tend to do.
One forward-looking thought before we go. The conversation about agents and secrets is really a conversation about trust in software systems. We're moving from a world where humans are the only actors that need credentials to a world where software agents are first-class participants. That's going to require rethinking a lot of our security assumptions, not just about API, keys, but about authentication, authorization, and audit. The people who figure out how to do this well are going to build the infrastructure for the next decade of software development.
The people who insist on manual processes for everything are going to find themselves bypassed by developers who just get things done, even if it means cutting corners. Better to build the secure, automated path than to moralize about the insecure manual one.
This has been My Weird Prompts, thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flemingtop. If you want more episodes, find us at myweirdprompts.com or on Spotify.
Until next time.
This episode was generated using Gemini Flash 3. Text-to-speech engine was Chatterbox.
Hey. thanks for listening to our show. My weird prompts, where odd thoughts go, from sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep, the stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close, from sloth, from man, from long ear host. My weird prompts, until next time, stay curious, keep weird in mind.